We're going to be in Jesus Calms the Storm in Luke chapter 8, verse 22. And we're also going to be looking at Matthew 8:23. So if you kind of maybe go to Matthew 8:23 first. But
Matthew what?
Matthew 8:23. Jesus Calms the Storm is the subject matter, but I want you to see two different people looking at the same thing. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. So that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this?" And I could say about you, your sisters are saying, "What kind of woman is this?" My family says the same thing about me. "What kind of man is this? He don't make sense." Even the wind and the waves obey him. But I don't want you to stop there. I want you to look at the next level, verse 28. When he arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men. If you haven't got a circle around two, it would be a wise decision to put a little circle there. Two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." So do demons talk? Yes.
Of course they
do. Do they occupy a house?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep banks into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Get out of here. We like what we like. We don't want to be disturbed. They are so religious that they know it's against God's law to eat pigs. And when the pigs drown, they're upset because that's easy food. Yeah. So I kind of want to give that to you. But I want you to see now how Luke looks at the same scenario. Luke chapter 8:22. Now remember, these guys are both on the same boat, right? They're both watching the same Savior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat, into a boat, set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. So in other words, he had to be pooped. So that tells you he's normal. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went, woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? Notice the difference. They are now being questioned. He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. I'd like to stress one point here. Did Jesus know that the storm was going to hit?
Of course.
Okay. Did he know that he was going to have to be woken up?
Of course.
Okay. Was he a real man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Did he question the guys before he calmed the storm?
No.
No.
Do you think he went to Papa?
It doesn't say he did.
Doesn't say he did. He was so in tune in the spirit, similar to what happened Sunday, when you know you're not in the control room. It's no longer your mouth that's going. It's the mouth of the Lord that's working through you and the directives coming out of you. So there are times when you will be doing something that doesn't make sense and you haven't communicated instructions from God in order to do it during the middle of that day, but under that anointing, it's no longer you doing it, it's him doing it through you. And so there are times when you're going to react, and you're going to react from the spirit within you, not with a great big list of do's and don'ts, such as he may give you on other times. Okay? So I'd like to put that in there so that you'll know that there are times you're not yourself. You are in that space between you and the Lord. And the coordinates are so tight that it's actually the Lord using you to do something that you probably would have never done on your own natural abilities. So it's him in you doing the reaction. And that's what I believe. He was totally sound asleep. I don't think he had a dream about calming the storm during the night. But when he came, you know, they're panicking, okay? And I'm sure he went into, you know, okay, Dad, now what? And instantly just commanded the wind and commanded the storm. So you've got the fruits. Now go to verse 26. Notice again they're going to Gadarene, right? Gerizim. They sailed to the region of the Gerizims, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man. How come there's not two on that one? Did he make two trips?
No.
No. I believe Luke was focused on one of the men. I believe there were two. So there is two different versions of the same experience, but there's a little more detail here. The demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes and lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?
He knew.
A little bit different, right? A different accent, an awareness that he's the Son of the Most High God. I beg you, don't torture me. So again, you know that there is an awareness from the demonic realm about anybody filled with the Lord and the Holy Ghost. You don't see Jesus getting this type of reception for 30 years. But when he's baptized in the Holy Ghost, they know he's the Son of the Most High God. They know he's the Son of God. They don't have to question. They know it. Yet the people haven't got a clue. The demons know more than you or more than the average people. Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. Driven. That means that man no longer had control of his own body. He was under the anointing of the demons, and the demons were using him just like some kind of a puppet. But it's from the inside. It's not strings. And you need to be aware of that. That there are people who are not doing what they may perceive they are doing under an anointing of a negative spirit. And you need to keep that in your focus sometimes, because your battle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. It is against those principalities, those powers, those demonic spirits that use people. Okay? So when you're upset about someone doing something silly, like walking around tombstones and living without clothing, don't put the person on a guilt trip. They may not have any control whatsoever. And you've got people today doing the same kind of stuff that this is going on. It hasn't changed. People cutting themselves, people torturing themselves. I had to deal with somebody not too long ago, and they showed me all the scars from all the cuttings. I mean, you know, I don't need to see that, but I certainly know the evidence. I've seen it happen before. But I want you to be aware that there is a force on the inside of those people that they can't complete with. That's why prayer. That's why intercession. That's why we are doing what we're doing, what we're being asked to do, and what we do, and for the purpose of, you know, bringing some kind of balance and salvation for these people. Now, verse 29. Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legions," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. They begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. That's another level of direction that a man under the anointing or a woman under the anointing of the Holy Ghost can really push and put people that have been bound to command the demons to go into the abyss. That can happen. I've seen that. Do I believe that that's something that you should do because you have a angry feeling at a demon spirit? Again, if you're under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will direct traffic, not you. Holy Spirit will work. Verse 32, a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. He gave them permission. Think about what that really is saying. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. So now the whole town and the countryside is aware of what's going on. And I kind of want to make sure that you know what that means. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Isn't that cool? Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Now you should expect that the whole community would be excited and happy. 37. Then all the people of the region, doesn't say some, of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. You know, I'll give you the next part. 38. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Now, when you reflect on this word and you look at the mentality of that day, I can truthfully say not much has changed. People are afraid of the Lord. They're afraid of watching somebody get free. They are so accustomed to doing things their way that they would rather shun him than to bow and humble themselves and ask him to come in.
I was listening to a message by Joseph Prince yesterday, and he was recounting, he was teaching, I can't remember, it was one of the countries in Europe, on grace.
Yep.
And he said after he got done, this man with a big long white beard came up, and apparently he was head of a large psychiatric facility.
Right.
And he said, he was commenting and complimenting Joseph Prince, and he said, you know, he says, I can honestly tell you that all of the people that I treat, the reason that they're not well is they still think there's a sin that can't be forgiven.
Right.
He said, but, he said, if they ever hear your message, I'm going to be out of business.
That's correct. That's exactly right.
That's what he told me.
They will be out of business.
Yeah.
And see, when you see these people that are so bound by fear, because you can see their reaction. Fear is the main ingredient that they're under. And they're afraid of watching people get free and losing their business. Mm-hmm. Okay? Anybody in their right mind tell a farmer that he's going to lose all his animals because it's, you know, pigs. Well, now here I go. You know, I got to start all over again. Mm-hmm. So their focus is on themselves and not on
God. Yeah,
God's.
They're not happy for the person.
Yeah. Well, you can see he's in his right mind. He wants to follow the Lord. I believe he became an evangelist because the Lord was really giving him that commission, you know, to go out and to speak. Now, when he verifies to each one what he went through and gives his testimony, it's no different than us giving testimony when God does something for us. The townspeople definitely will have had an opportunity on a one-to-one basis, because the biggest cry to me is they lost their finances, and boy, you don't steal somebody's finances and kill all the pigs, because let's face it, he gave them permission to go into the pigs. So today, as I was pondering on this and I was looking at, you know, the two verses, the two basic areas, number one, the disciples are also filled with fear. Okay? They have watched the Lord in amazement when he takes authority and does, you know, the work of calming the wind and calming the storm. I've seen people, you know, under the anointing, command the storm to cease and so on and so forth, and things change. Blowing the shofar is an excellent idea, mm-hmm. you know, reality. I've gone into different times in my life to obey the Lord, done some things that I probably wouldn't repeat, because again, people would say, oh my God, you know. And so I'm saying this to you because there may be corners where you're afraid down the road. And I'm really saying, should you bow to fear? Mm-mm. Consider it. If you have a press in your heart to do something under the anointing of the Lord, do it quickly. Don't ask questions. Mm-hmm. And while you're asking questions, all you're going to do is show your unbelief. Mm-hmm. You know? And why couldn't the city of Capernaum, for instance, get a blessing? Their unbelief. Mm-hmm. The Lord told them out loud, loud and clear. Sodom and Gomorrah would have had a better chance and would have listened if the miracles that happened in their town happened to them. So, you know, to me, this is a word that we need to pay attention to and to make sure that we respond when fear and torment comes in, and not to bow to it as best we can, and to quickly say, I'm not going to bow to fear. I can see what it brings. I can see what it does. I can see what it's done to the disciples. But I can also see what it did to the townspeople. Because you may have the same reactions. You know, we're not so perfect yet.
That's for sure.
Okay? We're still under construction, and we need to be aware, hey, God did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me power to love and a sound mind. When I was talking to a friend the other day, I was aware that fear was the torment, you know, the peace that was underneath. And I didn't know exactly how to respond, so I said, I think we need to pray. And obviously we did. And so I had the person put their hand on their chest at the other end of the phone and began to pray. And of course, out of my mouth came, God did not give you a spirit of fear. Would you repeat that? And so they did. But I also knew that it had to be my faith carrying them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you're aware they just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if they don't have it, it's still okay. Because you have it. You have the assurance. You have that ability to hold in there and to stay focused as best you can. And then God, perfect love, casts out all fear. God, get rid of it. I don't want it in there. I don't want it ruling. I don't want it be in the control room.
Yeah, Kenneth Hagin was recounting in one of his books that he was with a good friend who had diabetes. But his counts were perfect when he was with Kenneth. And he turned to the friend and he says, have you noticed that your counts are okay? He says, yeah, what is that? He says, as long as you're with me,
yeah,
your blood count will be perfect.
Yeah.
He said, but when you leave here, it won't. But he says, if you want,
you can get where I am.
You can get it.
Yeah.
He said, it took the man 5 years.
Five years later,
he called and says, got it.
Well, look at the bladder problem.
Yeah, was able to come against the diet. Yeah.
3 years. How long for your legs?
Well, you've got blocks inside of you, so the man must have had some blocks that the Lord had to shatter.
And I'm not saying this was straight up stubbornness on my part. It has taken almost 6 years to get my legs where they are, but when they told me what my condition was, my first thought was, I'm not going on a walker, a cane, a wheelchair, nothing. I'll walk through the pain.
Right.
So I guess what I'm saying is it didn't take me 5 years to get to the point where I thought, oh yeah, I better walk.
Right.
It has something to do with it. It was my stubbornness. Well, I think some of it was God, but.
Well, stubbornness and tenacity, depending on who the anointing is.
Yeah. maybe, okay.
Holy Ghost tenacity is really of God. Okay? Stubbornness is the other side.
And I did. I sat out in my car, and I said, I will not go on them.
Good. You know why? Because you were actually activating your faith.
Mm,
and you were decreeing what you knew would happen. No different than when I told a doctor, I'm the one in a million. And, you know, that's all I needed is one door.
Yep.
And I'm the one in a million. And 3 years later, and now it's been 6 years.
Yep.
Okay? And everything's not a one yet, but God's not finished with me yet. You know, there's still things that he tries, you know, a little push here and a little push there. No, you're not going to win. Whatever it takes.
Yep.
Not important what it takes. What's important is your dedication. And just like when Jesus was not going to quit here, you know, he tells this young man, return home and tell how much God has done for you. Tell. Testimony. So there's a time that you will be able to speak to some. No.
Yes. Yep.
You know, and that was your testimony tonight. How long did it take to get to this point?
Oh.
Yeah.
Many years.
There you go. And, you know, it's the same thing. There are times that you are not the anointed vessel to speak. I wanted to speak Sunday night. The Lord said, no, don't speak. I wanted to because I wanted to say, danger ahead, danger ahead. But no. And, you know, the Lord reminded me, he said, if you are perceived as a fanatic already, why should you add another layer?
Correct.
Okay? Why should you add another layer? They've already perceived that you're nuts. They don't need another convincing factor, do they? Or another vote. So, think about this now. Just lift your hands to him. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I'm one of your disciples.
I'm one of your disciples.
Just like the guys in the boat.
Just like the guys in the boat.
When Jesus seems to be snoozing.
When Jesus seems to be snoozing.
I'm going to try.
My best.
Not to let fear and torment. Operate on me. Or operate through me.
God did not give me a spirit of fear.
2 Timothy 1:7. And perfect love casts out all fear. So knowing that we're going to the other side.
Is all I need to know.
We're going to make it. And we can speak to the wind. And we can speak to the rain. And the storm. And stay begone. In Jesus' name.
And be quiet.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.